Welcome to South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board. I'm Rosemary O'Hara, the editorial page editor, and I'm joined today by my esteemed colleagues, Alana Sims and Andy Reid. This is our weekly discussion of issues in the news from a South Florida feel. And boy, is there a lot to talk about this week. Wow, South Florida is all over the news. The Sun Sentinel's all over the news with a video that showed that John Kelly got it wrong when he went after our Congresswoman, Frederica Wilson. Yeah. What's the latest, Alana?
Well, if you've been under a rock, which or you've turned your television off, which I don't blame you for, there's been a war of words going on between the president and our representative, Frederica Wilson. Let me just kind of rehash things a little bit. We had the loss of four soldiers who were in Niger. And so the president called the grieving family as they were on their way to the airport to receive the body of the lost. And he offered his condolences in the way that only Trump can. You know, he told the family, told the widow, that he knew what he was getting into. And even if that's the case, it's not the best way to communicate your condolences. So the phone call was on speakerphone, and Representative Wilson heard that commentary and was incensed by it and went public with it. So the president wasn't happy about that. So he tweeted back that she was wacky and, you know, she never should have said what she said. And then Chief of Staff John Kelly joined in the fray and went after her, calling her an empty barrel, attacking her credibility. And it's just been one war, one thing after another. And so this morning, the women of the Congressional Black Caucus have joined in. 17 members have called for Chief Kelly to apologize, to say that he was wrong, that the video, the Sun Sentinel video, showed that what he accused her of was indeed not true, and he should apologize. But the White House has not. They've kind of doubled down. They've said, you know, he said what he said, and we're not taking it back. But, you know, I thought when you're wrong, you should say you're wrong, especially at the way that they came after her.
Yeah.
You know, roll that back. Say we got it wrong. But in this administration, sorry just doesn't seem to work.
You know, it takes a real man to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, in some ways I feel for John Kelly because I think he's been the adult in the room. We had so much expectation for him to bring some sense of order to the place. And he got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sometimes you can misremember. You know, people who are witnesses to crime scenes often get it wrong.
Yeah.
And he got it wrong. Mm-hmm. Is it so hard to say you got it wrong? And instead, we just got people calling our congresswoman names mm-hmm. from empty barrel, which what an insult, yeah. to wacky, to take a look at her. You know, I mean, this is just over the top.
It is.
When she was right, and the Mrs. Johnson went on television and mm-hmm. herself said, that is what the president said, and he couldn't remember my husband LaDavid's name.
Right.
And you know, maybe for the president, the words he said were meant to be soothing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's true. Mm-hmm. I believe he meant to be soothing. It's a hard call to make.
Yeah, it is.
But you got to put yourself in her shoes, mm-hmm. and nobody's put themselves in her mm-hmm. shoes and how she heard it.
Well, the president's track record of saying the wrong thing at the exact wrong time is well documented and just continues to play itself out. But we should stop making excuses for General Kelly. We should stop giving him credit for being the adult in the room. He's one of the enablers of this president, and he's one of a sad line of people that they trot out to try to re-explain mm-hmm. what the president said he didn't really mean.
Yeah.
And if he did mean it, he's not sorry, but here's why you shouldn't pay attention to it. I mean, this is a general who purposely aligned himself to be this president's, to be the man behind this president.
Right.
And then he came out and, you know, made a situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm losing comfort in the idea that he's the adult in the room by the way he's responding to these situations.
And my issue, too, is then Sarah Huckabee Sanders says we shouldn't question the general. Who are we to question a four-star general? Really? You know, first off, we all saw these tweets from the president who questioned all these four-star generals. But, you know, I don't know. We talked about the series Vietnam on PBS.
Yeah, I remember.
And General Westmoreland gets up there and says, "We're winning. We're winning in Vietnam. We were so duped by our general that we have to question our generals."
And we know so little about what happened in Africa.
I know.
And to just, I mean, senators over the weekend were telling, were saying they didn't know that there were 1,000 troops in Africa, in that area where this occurred. And we need to be asking more questions, not less.
Right.
And,
right.
That's right.
And the sad thing is it's beyond sad. It's just, you know, the whole fray, the Twitter and the back and forth takes away from the fact that we lost the lives of four Americans,
right.
You know. And we do them a disservice when there's an argument, a Twitter war with the President of the United States. Can we just think about that for a second?
Right.
His condolences, his thoughts, his purpose needs to be on these troops, not, you know, condemning a representative for what she did.
And how she looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to say, you know, hey, weigh in here with us. If you've got comments, questions, want to join the discussion, type them in the comment section below, and Lana,
we'll read them. We'll
there
read
you
them.
Go. Oh, and by the way, you can always send letters to the editor, too, letters@sunsentinel.com. Next up, we're abortion. Ah, geez. The anti-abortion crowd is at it again. They're pushing an amendment to the state constitution that would undermine the right to privacy, which is a protection that judges have used to strike down legislative intrusions into a woman's right to choose. The Florida State Constitution Revision Commission is meeting right now, and it encouraged people in the public, tell us what amendments should we have to the state constitution. They really encouraged, you know, public input. The public suggested over 2,000 amendments. So guess how many they accepted? Just 6. So after all of this, we want to hear from you. Just 6. And one of those just 6 is one that would limit the right to privacy that judges use to say government can't tell you about your right to choose. They can't tell you about your decision on right to die. They can't, tap into your cell phones or put drones, all these privacy things. This is how they want to do it. Right now, the Constitution says every natural person has the right to be let alone and free from governmental intrusion into the person's private life. Pretty simple. The proposed amendment would say every natural person has the right to be let alone and free from governmental intrusion into the person's private life with respect to privacy of information and the disclosure thereof. And the addition of those words changes everything. Rather than broadly saying the government can't intrude into your private life, it's going to say the government can't intrude into your private life with respect to privacy of information. Just that. So the addition of the words actually reduces your right to privacy. And so this is one of the 6 amendments that the Constitutional Revision Commission, which is totally unbalanced, in terms of Republicans and Democrats, that's what they're pushing forward. It just never ends. You know, the legislature every year passes laws that are meant to restrict your right to choose. Mm-hmm. And because they don't like how they keep losing in court, they want to change the Constitution and restrict your right to privacy.
Well, it's the ultimate contradiction of the Republican-led legislature that doesn't want big government, wants to reduce regulation, and yet when it comes to women's bodies, there's all for it. It goes too far. Obviously, privacy is something we're all entitled to, and we shouldn't be legislating things like abortion.
Right. Yeah. It's been decided. Leave it alone. You know. And you're right. You know, big government has no role in a very difficult decision for people. Nobody likes making a decision like that. You know, get out of our personal lives and get into the environment.
Yes. We need some help in that area,
oh,
Andy.
Oh, my gosh. What's happening? We're going to now start drilling for oil in the Everglades?
Of all the places to look for oil to solve the world's energy needs.
Our drinking water supply.
Yeah,
let's
the Everglades should be last on the list. A judge, an administrative law judge, ruled last week, I believe. His ruling opened the door to revisiting the idea of drilling for oil in the Everglades in western Broward mm-hmm. County. It would allow drilling down to see how much oil is there and to allow a large landowner to start extracting it potentially if they get the green light. It's just the worst possible place in South Florida, let alone the country, to do something like that. Mm-hmm. How much oil could be down there that it's worth the risk of polluting the Everglades beyond what we've already done to the Everglades?
Exactly.
And not only that, to our drinking water supply.
Right.
The Everglades is a part of our drinking water supply. The underground aquifers are part of our drinking water supply. And to risk that just for the chance to drill for more oil in another spot on the globe is too great a risk to take.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no, and what I love in his order, he says, well, that part of the Everglades is already degraded. Already degraded.
So
well,
let's just finish it
yeah,
off.
Yeah, exactly. And so, right, yeah. And let's degrade it even more. And so then the creep into
right.
more of the Everglades. We keep allowing people to do things that degrade the Everglades. Where does that stop?
Right.
And they say, you know, they're pipes. Oh, we're going 2 miles down for this oil, but it goes right through the aquifer. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Pipes have been shown to leak. And even at the surface, where this thing would, you know, the pad on which the drill would be built, there could be spills. There would be more wells built in order to give them the water they need mm-hmm. to do what they need mm-hmm. to do. And, you know, local governments are saying, we don't want oil drilling in the Everglades.
And the Everglades have given up enough. We've taken half yeah. of the Everglades for South Florida to be as big and widespread as it is. Mm-hmm. We're polluting the Everglades with water, with runoff and other pollutants. The Everglades have given enough to mankind. We can let it keep whatever oil it has
yeah.
and right. find our energy needs elsewhere.
We have a letter writer. His name is Pablo Grijalva. He's from Pembroke Pines. He wrote in this weekend about this issue, and he says, this decision may truly open a Pandora's box, which I absolutely agree. He says, any conventional oil drilling permit can easily be converted to contaminate water all across the country with little or public notice or oversight. And oversight, of course, we don't have enough of, and this is the problem because this is proliferating now. He says, I hope our elected officials will protect us and stop the industry from drilling here. So you, the residents, are definitely concerned about this. So we want to hear more from you if that's the case.
No, it just, you know, these, and the other thing that I'll use language for broadcast.
Yes.
Annoys me is these administrative law judges. You know, nobody elects these people. And yet they sit in their Tallahassee office and they decide that, you know, let's allow drilling in the Everglades. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the folks who also let these bad teachers go back into the school system that the school board tries to deal with. Administrative law judges have too much power, you know, and they're costing us too much, and they too often get it wrong, and they're not responsive to the will of the people. Mm. So, you know, this is just going to lead to more money spent on legal fees and more lawsuits, and it's got to happen. Because no oil drilling, no more oil drilling in the Everglades.
Here.
Oh. Okay. What else needs to happen, Andy? Or not happen.
The supervisors of elections, if that's where you were going,
yes.
Are gearing up. Supervisors of elections across the state are gearing up for the legislative delegation mm-hmm. coming up and talking about new laws that they'd like to see passed. And apparently they're not concerned about the Reed children eating or going to college because they want to drop the requirement that sample ballots be printed in newspapers, which is obviously going to hurt newspapers, but it's going to hurt voters even more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be encouraging as much voter participation as possible.
That's right.
And putting ballots out there through newspapers, mailings, any way you can is one way to have a more informed electorate. So we shouldn't be scaling that back. We should be increasing those efforts. Now, they say we can email the ballots or you know, have them available online, but just not everybody's there yet. Yeah. And even if they are, this supplements that.
Right, right.
You know, we get the people who read newspapers are not reading it on their phone. Yeah. They prefer to read it in print. And I can't tell you how many people, you know this, mm-hmm. write letters to the editor
right.
longhand
yes,
because
they
don't have a computer. Mm-hmm. They don't do email. Mm-hmm. And these are loyal voters. And the supervisors really, what it sounds like is their top legislative agenda item is to keep loyal newspaper readers from seeing the sample ballot. And instead saying, we'll email it to you. When I can tell you, I would love them to take some of the phone calls I get from people who write letters. They don't use computers.
They
want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. They want to talk to you, you know. So knock it off. That is not the highest priority mm-hmm. to ensure a fair and safe election mm-hmm. in Florida. What else are they trying
Absolutely.
To do?
They're looking to roll back some of the voter information that's available through public records. The voter roll, the voter file, you know, tells everybody who's registered in Florida where they are, you know, where they live, you know, that kind of basic information. And it's open to public record, and campaigns use it to send out mailers. And it's a public record that should be a public record, and they want to scale that back, which I think could have some difficult consequences.
So they don't want people to know who's on the voter rolls in Florida. Well, how's that going to help us find out if there's voter fraud in Florida if we don't even know who's on the rolls? Really? Where has the abuse been? I can tell you where the abuse has been. The abuse has been on these absentee ballots mm-hmm. and politicians going and getting the absentee ballots and taking them to people or having them fill it out in front of it and sign it. Is that on their legislative agenda, Andy? Dealing with absentee ballot fraud?
Yeah, that's a good point. And good reporting has helped expose voter fraud in the past. Mm-hmm. Taking the voter records, checking to see if people who were casting ballots were actually dead or alive, lived in the places they were supposed to live, was a candidate running, registered where he's, you know, gonna be representing. Mm-hmm. These are valuable tools that shouldn't be closed off behind, you know, public record exemptions. Yeah.
And not only for reporters, you know, people should also be doing their own due diligence before they go to the ballot. An informed voter is an empowered voter. So why are we taking away the tools for people to know what's going on before they go, you know, hit that button, check
That's
that
right.
ballot?
That's right. You know, if there's a registered voter who says it shows they voted and your next door neighbor knows that person hasn't lived there, they moved to New York 10 years ago, maybe they can help crowdsource
That's right.
voter fraud in Florida. So, you know, there's not a problem. This is not a problem that needs to be solved. There is a problem, but it doesn't seem to have reached their radar. So, anyway, yeah. I'm all worked up about that. So, okay, well, we like to end our little episode with parting thoughts.
Yes.
So, what are, Andy, you go first, our parting thoughts.
Well, I'm so excited. You've seen the pumpkin patches out there. Fall is in the air, and apparently South Florida is going to get its one day of fall this Wednesday. Temperatures dipping.
I'm wearing orange just for the occasion.
Temperatures dipping into the brisk upper 70s with a low hugging the 60s potentially, and then we may get a 1-2 day window of that. Just in time for Halloween, we get a little taste of fall here in South Florida.
I really want some cold this winter. I want all those geckos and those iguanas.
I'm with you.
We need a cold spell to kill those things.
I'm with you.
What's your parting thought, E?
Well, I mentioned earlier about turning the TV off. I don't blame you for turning the TV off. This weekend, my best friend and I, we turned the TV off and we went to go hear a live blues band at Blue Jean Blues in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. I had never been there before, but it was wonderful. And let me tell you, if you need a pick-me-up, go watch people dance to Rolling on the River by Tina Turner with a little bit of a drink in them. It's hilarious. But, you know, sometimes you just need to decompress. Go out and have a little fun. So that's my tip for the week.
Yeah.
Go have some fun.
Yeah, and live music is,
it's wonderful.
It's great fun. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'd mentioned this before, but my husband and I went down to Miami Wynwood because a couple weeks ago he got new glasses. So I wanted new glasses too because the old eyes are not seeing quite as clearly. To Warby Parker. It's Warby Parker, $95 for glasses. You know, I've spent $400 for glasses.
Yeah.
There's a shop on Las Olas I paid over $500 for glasses. Outrageous. So, you know, the new economy is changing, is breaking through some of the, you know, these conglomerates that, and one of them is in those who control eyeglasses. Mm-hmm. Eyeglasses shouldn't be so expensive. So if you're looking for a cute, you know, reasonable pair of eyeglasses, Warby Parker, Wynwood, see you there. So, okay, well, that's it. Did we, you know, no. Okay, no questions. Oh, you know, so we'll see you next week. Engage us here on Facebook.
Letters at sunsentinel.com.
There you go. We'll see you here next week, and hope you have a good one. Thanks. Bye-bye.